and certainly the blessing that we can assemble to worship God, to encourage one another, and to take a moment to look at God's Word and whatever we can learn from it. There was a lot of events, for instance, in the United States, in the world, that just get our attention. December 7th, for instance, that important date. Brian mentioned this morning, tomorrow is 9/11. I think you just have to say 9/11. People know 9/11, 2001, what happened? Where were you at when you seen these things? But there's always events in our life, in our own personal life, and everybody here has their own story about events that happened in your personal life. And there was something that happened in my life about a month ago that had an impact on me. And I hadn't started my sermon yet about what I was going to preach on. And I thought, I'm going to preach on what happened. So let me give you a little backstory. And the reason I'm going to use this as kind of a lesson this evening. About a month ago, I had a coworker, and I'd worked with him for almost 30 years. I first met him in 1993 at National Jewish. If you've seen the guy, you would never, I mean, how do we know everybody's health even in this room? But just, it didn't seem like he was in bad health. He got around, he talked about things he did, had no concept from him. I barely ever talked about his health. He had hardly ever called in sick. He just seemed like his health was doing pretty good for him. I know he was diabetic, and he seemed to have that under control. So this was on a Friday, again, about a month ago. The last time I seen him, I had a brief conversation with him. And so that was on a Friday. Then I got word that he called in and said that he wouldn't be there Monday to work. And so he had called in, but then he had texted on our work phone one of the workers and said that he was going to have a quadruple bypass surgery. This guy's name is Dave. So on Friday, he seems normal, walking around. And then come Monday, so apparently in talking to his wife, he had two minor heart attacks between Friday and Monday. So I think now it was quite aware to him, and I'll make some points there, that he had something wrong with him. So he had quadruple bypass surgery. Pretty serious thing. And so just all of us were bewildered as to how this guy is walking around on Friday and has to have bypass surgery on Monday. Just seemed odd. And so I got to talking with one of his coworkers, name's Andrew, our plumber, and he said, well, Dave had complained, was complaining about his chest kind of hurting and just kind of not feeling just right. And so this is a month before this happened. And he said, hey, Dave, maybe you should go to the doctors and have this checked out. And you could be having a heart attack. You don't know. You could have something wrong. And of course, he said that, well, I don't feel any tingling in my hands. And so I don't know fully, and I'm not going to stamp on the man's grave, but this is what was said about his condition from himself. So there was many conversations like that because he worked alongside this coworker. So, you know, if he sits down and he's not feeling well and kind of complaining, the guy says, hey, you know, you doing okay? Anyway, to make a long story short, I was in contact with his wife through text. I talked to her some on the phone. Dave had triple bypass surgery. He was supposed to have quadruple, but one of the arteries they couldn't do anything to or whatever. So that was on that. And then I talked to her. I don't remember all the days. I think it was Tuesday. I said, hey, I'd like to come visit. There's a couple of us that'd like to come visit. Well, she said that he's still in isolation, but he's already got a room at Lutheran. I said, I'll call you back tomorrow. I don't want to go into isolation. That's for his family. I don't want to interfere with that. If they want to go see him, I don't want to be, you know, in the way here. But I'll go once he's in a room. So she said he's on the sixth floor, Lutheran. That's his room, but he's not there yet, so I want to know when he's there. So Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock, my phone rings. It's his wife. His wife had his take-home phone. Just came up, Dave. And she said, Rob, Dave passed away yesterday. And it was a shock. And, of course, I'll never forget listening to a wife crying on the phone, explaining that he passed away. And she went into some of his health conditions. It doesn't matter. His kidney shut down. His lung collapsed. All kinds of things went wrong. Of course, she was saying to me the day before that he was up walking around. Of course, after surgery, they want to get you walking and things like that. And I just thought, wow, that was tough, because Dave had talked about retiring. Dave was 67 years old, and he'd been talking about how he's getting closer, and, oh, Dave, when are you going to retire? And he liked working. I get that. So it was his choice. We weren't trying to force him out or anything like that. But, you know, Dave never made it to retirement. Dave worked his whole life and always talked about retirement. But Dave didn't make it. That's sad. Dave has three boys that lost their father. Dave has a wife that lost a husband. Now, the story I'm telling can be duplicated many times, right? We may even know some other people that's had this. But I said to myself, what can I learn from this? And this is what I was talking about. There's events in each and every one of our lives that we look at them and maybe we analyze it. Hey, is there maybe something I can learn from this? Is there something that has relevance? And I often try to make spiritual application out of a situation that I'm aware of. So I want to look at that this evening. And my whole sermon is about lessons from others. Now, we have our own experience, but we can look at situations like I had in my work situation, and we can learn from that. So I'm pretty much done talking about the physical. Now, listen, the physical is part of the spiritual, part of our mental. We really can't completely separate. We talk about our spiritual being and our physical being, but they often cross over. And, for instance, there may be things physically, I mean, all of us, but that you have that you can learn from. But I really want to grasp onto the spiritual lessons that we can learn from others in this particular case. So we're going to look at five areas, I believe. Just self-examination, denying there's a problem, not listening to others, take immediate action, and no guarantee of tomorrow. So let's briefly look at these five areas in view of lessons from others. Because this right here is a lesson that I learned, a lesson we can all learn about our eternal destiny in this box being put into the ground. And the one thing I see here, and I see it every time I go to the funeral, and that is, it's final. It's over with. It's done. There is no moving on. There is no second chance. This is it. And that's a sobering thought for each and every one of us. So let's start out here with just general lessons from others. Self-examination. Now, these are all verses we're familiar with, but look at it from this standpoint, and that is lessons we can learn from others. But then one of the lessons I learned from Dave and I can learn from others is to start right here. Self-examination. It doesn't do me any good to break down and understand Dave, other than maybe some things that you learn from, if I don't come over here and do my own self-examination. Now, when we look at 2 Corinthians 13:5, just look at the words that the Holy Spirit used in this one verse. Examine yourself. It doesn't say examine others. It doesn't say be more concerned about others. Now, we should be concerned about others, don't get me wrong, but this verse is talking about yourself. Because we can spend as much time examining others and forget about ourselves and have no care and concern for ourselves, somebody could be really concerned about your health and my health and have no care about their own health, but spiritually minded, spiritually make an application here. So examine yourself whether ye, not me, not you, ye, us, me, ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So yourselves, ye and your. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So examine yourself. And that's the lesson we can learn from others, especially when we are aware of something like this, is let's examine ourselves. Now the scriptures talk about self-examination a lot. I could spend the rest of my time. And I got to get going because I'm running behind now. But let's just look at these verses. I don't need to explain a lot on them. But look at the key words. Psalms, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Psalms 119, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Me thought on my ways. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Powerful verses. Lamentations. Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord. Ezekiel 18. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live, and he shall not die. Now that's talking about, anyway, us being responsible for our own sin. Let's just put it that way. 1 John 3, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things, all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. We see just the Bible heeding and warning us to do this. Individual responsibility. Well, that's the next step. Denying there's a problem. Now, it doesn't do us a whole lot of good to do a self-examination. It's equivalent to going to a doctor, okay? Professional doctor. You go to the doctor and want a checkup, or you're having a problem, and you go there, and he says, there's the problem. And you don't do anything about it. You got the self-examination down. You had somebody else help you professionally, but then, no, that's not me, doctor. No, I don't have XYZ. And how many people may have walked out of a doctor's room and said, that ain't me. That's a misdiagnosis. Now, doctors can't misdiagnose. I get all that. That's not my point. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. The devil is the great deceiver, and as long as he can keep helping us deceive ourselves, he's got us. He's got us. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do not deceive, evil communications corrupt good manners. For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in a malice and envy and hateful, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So there's the self-examination, finding out what the problem is. We may have to have a little talk with ourselves. But then once we identify that, what are we going to do about it? For instance, what would be something spiritually? I'm trying to make spiritual application. Like studying God's Word. You say to yourself, how much time do I spend studying God's Word? Well, everybody in here can answer it themselves. Okay, yep, I don't study God's Word enough. Maybe a couple times a week when we're here. I really don't crack the book when I'm at home. Don't think it's all that important. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if your faith is weak, that's number one, you ain't in that book. That's what the Bible says. That you're not studying it. You're not understanding it. You're not letting it increase your faith. But you might say, well, this isn't a problem. I'm okay. I don't need to do that. Okay. Well, examination, you might deny there's a problem. But just like this man, Andrew, tried to help Dave. Hate to say this, but Dave didn't listen. That might be brash. They might say, I can't believe you're saying that. But if I'm going to learn anything from this, I can only imagine how many months he was walking around that job with needing quadruple bypass surgery as well as maybe some other things. Sometimes men are the worst. All of us men in here can say, yeah, we can be kind of bullheaded. We think we're invincible. Nothing can happen to me. That's just not going to happen. Okay. What if somebody told you that if you were in your car, and pretend these signs aren't here, that, hey, Rob, if you drive down that road, it goes over a cliff, you'll never be seen again. And I'd say, don't tell me anything. I don't want to know. I'm just not going to listen to other people. And I'm just going to drive that. Now, I find this graphic kind of interesting. Would one sign been enough? Would it have been? Probably. Sometimes two is good. No through traffic. Road closed. Do not block entrance. No traffic beyond this point. Danger, whatever. Do not enter. I mean, listen, if you go around that, you ain't listening to others, and you're being real bullheaded. Bullheaded. Well, what can happen right here? Let's make the spiritual application if we don't listen to other people. Now, I was like, I'm going to show, you might as well have some good graphics if you're going to try to make a point here. This was a picture on YouTube, and I didn't have the video, I could have. That's somebody's car cam, whatever, GoPro, I don't know what it was driving along, and their car, their video picked this car up going over the cliff. Go to YouTube, you can probably find videos. It showed it just comes down and goes right over the cliff. But how horrible. Now, I don't know what happened. I can't see anybody in there. Was the car on a hill? I don't know, but it went over. There ain't no doubt this has happened. You go to the news every day and see stuff like this. Now, we don't know what happened. That's not my point. But my point is this. That. Somebody says, don't drive over the cliff, Rob. Don't go down that road. Turn around. You can't go. Can't you see all the signs? Yeah, I see all the signs, and I don't want to pay attention to that. Now, let's look at a positive example here of somebody that listened to somebody else. Now, we have a whole lot of examples in the scriptures, but one of these come to mind. Let's read it. 2 Samuel 12:1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, and the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him, like a pet, and with his children. It did not eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Wow. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. Now this rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now think about that. Just here they have this lamb and they're keeping it, and the rich man who had his own, but he takes this other's and he dressed it for the man that came to him. Now David, King David, anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." One of the most moving stories in the scriptures. Now, David, we all know the story about Bathsheba and about Uriah and about sending him to the front lines with a letter and he's murdered. Thou art the man. Thou art the man. Now, before that, and you can go to Psalms and other verses or other scriptures. I mean, David was compounding his problems over and over and over. And a lot of times in life we do that. Instead of just stopping with one thing, he kept compounding it. And the sin with Bathsheba, that was horrible. But that was one of many things that went on. But you know what? David listened to others, and you can read on how the man had repentance, sorrow. He spent the rest of his days about that. Well, what about us? Making spiritual application. We can help each other here or somewhere else. I mean, we may do it for a doctor. Oh, yeah, I listen to doctors all the time. But what a good example this was. And the Lord, but you know what? David had to do something. It wasn't like, well, okay, David, now you know. Well, he knew, but he had to do something. But here was a good example that he listened to Nathan. In Luke chapter 5, verse 31, "And Jesus said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." We often refer to Jesus as the great physician. And if anybody's going to heal us, if anybody's going to help us, it's the great physician. And this is Jesus right here. "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." And so the sick people need to listen to others, and spiritually applying this, we need to listen to Jesus Christ and His Word. I'm not going to read this. I was going to, but I've got to move on here. We all know 2 Peter 1:3, 1:3 through 13, about how the divine power hath given us all things to pertain to life and godliness. It doesn't matter what our condition is, the Word of God, and with God's help, can get us through our difficulties in this life, if we'll just listen. And here's Vance's sermon this morning. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligent to make your call and election sure." Okay, so where are we at here? We've looked at it. Self-examination, not listening to others, denying there's a problem. Flip those. How about take immediate action? If we know all this, the self-examination, we might even not deny. We might listen to others, but we don't take immediate action. You know, you go to the physical doctor, and he can tell you all kinds of things. Take these pills, do this, do that, and you just, I'll get to it. Well, you might think you'll get to it on a Friday, and you'll be 6 foot under on a Wednesday. It can happen physically, but it can happen spiritually. Well, with some of the excuses that we all probably use, busy, super busy, can't get to it. Maybe busy doing things he's probably on a cell phone. Later excuses. I will tomorrow, or I'm just lazy, I'm tired, or next time. You know, the world gets it. You don't mind me using this. Whoever this Pablo Picasso is, only put off until tomorrow what you are willing to die having left undone. We know Ben Franklin, you may delay, but time will not. Rita Mae Brown, if it weren't for the last minute, nothing would get done. God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but he has not promised tomorrow to your procrastination. St. Augustine of Hippo. Life always begins with one step outside of your comfort zone. And I put that in because a lot of times the things that we need to do are outside of our comfort zone. We're just not comfortable doing it. And so why do we procrastinate? Are we like, I've got to do X, Y, Z, and I don't want to do it because it's going to not work out. I'm going to fail. No. Let's see what the scriptures say as we move on here. Now, when you read the scriptures, and I just threw a few in here, the Bible's wording is immediate. Now, today. You never read, tomorrow is the day of salvation. It says today is. Then they that gladly received his words were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000. Now, we're talking about the day of Pentecost. And you remember Peter's sermon to them, what must we do to be saved? And, you know, Peter didn't say, well, this is what you need to do, but you got some time. Just take care of it whenever you can. No. Now. Same day. There's words in the scriptures like immediately, arise, go forth, now, do quickly, are just a few biblical words that show, sense of urgency and requires our immediate action. Some things need our immediate action. Now, I'm just going to say some things need our immediate action and can be of great consequences if we put them off. See, I think we weigh things out. Let's just be honest. We weigh things out. Okay, I need to do this. Now, you might be a type A that says, I'm going to do it right now. Or I can put it off. Now, when we're talking about spiritual things, we're going to have some detail here, and I'm not getting into the nuts and bolts tonight. I think you get my point. But we got to prioritize things. In Matthew 6, 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. If you seek first the kingdom of God in your life every day, and you're doing this, you're doing it. And maybe you have 10 things spiritually you want to do, and you're like, man, I wish I could get through all 10 of them today, but you can't. Maybe there's visiting a brother. Maybe there's helping somebody. Maybe there's reading the scriptures. Maybe there's study. Okay? Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient of the day is evil there. Let me tell you something. The Bible doesn't talk about putting things off till tomorrow. It just doesn't. You show me where it says that. You just put it off. Well, let's look at some definitions. Now, here's a definition of tomorrow. I know everybody likes definitions. It's a mystical land where 99% of all human productivity, motivation, and achievement is stored. Tomorrow. I found these kind of interesting. I know they're not from the scriptures, but there's a lot of scripture that a perfect method for adding drama to life is to wait until the deadline looms larger. Now, I typed in procrastination in Google. That's it. Procrastination. And you know how many things about school came up? Now, Rachel and Nate and Stephen, anybody that went to college, I didn't really go to college, but it just applies to me too. There was one of these that said, when is it due? Like a paper. And they said 5 minutes before it's due. I mean, these were like, anyway, we have a problem with this in the world. There's just no doubt about it. And I work with it all the time. Procrastination is something best put off until tomorrow. Postponed. Procrastination is illogical from every viewpoint. It is like the man who wanted to cross the stream, so he sat on the bank to wait for all the water to run by. Now that might be us. Okay, once it's all by, that water never will run by unless it dries up. But we'll stick here. We can come up with some good justification and rationalization. How about this? Procrastinators Club meeting, not today, tomorrow's crossed out, next week's crossed out. How about next month? Rob, you're calling me a procrastinator. You're calling me a procrastinationator. I'll prove you wrong someday. You wait and see. Someday. I'm just going to be, I'll be right here in this position tomorrow. I'll be waiting, ready to do it. You know, brethren, we have no guarantee of tomorrow. Remember that one thing said, put off today what you can go to, you can die with not doing until tomorrow. Now, what would that be? James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. Now, when I think of a vapor, I think of this pot on a stove. I remember my mom had a teapot, and a lot of people have teapots. But when I read this verse, I think of this steam and how, you know, it's there for a little bit and then it's gone. That's life. Brethren, we don't have much time here. We don't. And the biggest tool the devil uses is that we got time. That we got time. Did Dave have time? On Friday, Dave had time. But that was, and a couple days later, he didn't have any more time. And I know a little bit about his religion. I won't talk about it, but it's not a good situation at all. Look at the context of James chapter 4. Now, this could be us. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And then our verse, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanish away. Now here's what we ought to say. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it said, oh, okay, Rob, so you can say, never you can say, I got a vacation next month. We're not talking about vacations here. We're talking about spiritual lessons. And we're talking about having an arrogance to say, because it says what we should say, if the Lord wills. That's what it's saying. If the Lord wills, he's going to give us tomorrow. And sometimes there may be situations we say, I can't get it all done now, but I'm going to do all I can with these 24 hours. I'm not even into midnight the next day doing it. Real quickly. But the rich, he that is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For all flesh is grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, watch and pray. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I've used this many times. Tomorrow he promised his conscience. Tomorrow I mean to be good. Tomorrow I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow I'll do as I should. Tomorrow I'll conquer the habit that holds me from heaven's way away. But even his conscience repeated one word and one only today. Tomorrow, 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 thus day after day it went on. Tomorrow, 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 till youth like a vision was gone. Till age and his passion had written the message of fate on his brow. And forth from the shadows come death with the pitiless syllable, now. Don't know who wrote that, but how true. We've just seen a lot about, and I've spent a lot of time about now. Don't procrastinate. Take care of it now. Get yourself in a position where you can do it now. That's it. Well, let's review. We've seen self-examination, very important. If we do a self-examination, let's not deny there's a problem. We're deceiving ourselves. Let's listen to others that are trying to help us. Let's take immediate action. When we know what to do, do it. And realize that there's no guarantee of tomorrow. Now I want to end with not a word, but with this graphic. Unless the Lord comes, this will be us in this casket. And it's going to be final, over, done with. And we don't know, brethren. We don't know when that is. So, spiritually thinking and making application is that let's not go here. How many funerals have you been to where you thought there's just no hope for that person? And I'm going to let God judge them. But how great it is, the funerals that we've all been to, and tears are so thankful that that person has hope. Because they did what they were supposed to do. And those five lessons that I learned from Dave, five lessons that we all have people we've talked to. How many stories have we had with coworkers or neighbors about somebody that passed away unexpectedly? And we say to ourselves, man, that sometimes that just kind of wakes you up. Not the things of this life, the material things of this life, it don't matter. You can give me the whole world and it ain't going to matter on Judgment Day. It's going to be how I and what my relationship with God and through His grace and mercy, because this is final. But we live in a world that everything's deferred. Deferred, deferred, deferred. Let's not be people of deferment. And do your own examination and say to yourself, where can I get better? Because being a Christian is an ongoing life thing. And we can't let the things of this life interfere with us. We can get into a roadblock. We can get into I'm invincible and I'll take care of that eventually. You know, you might put off mowing your lawn one day because it's raining or whatever. But if you put off things of spiritual nature, they're going to build over time. And sometimes there's such a... And we become spiritually weak when we procrastinate, when we just say, I'll just do it some other time. No, that should not be how we are. And let's look and learn from others. Lessons that this last month, I've learned greatly. Because when it hits home to you, you're saying, if I don't learn from it, then it's just kind of a something that just kind of happened. Yeah, somebody else died. No. What about you tonight? Each and every one of us, we can help each other. We can pray for each other if there's a need this evening. Or for sure, God can help us if we pray to Him sincerely that, hey, I want to do a self-examination. I don't want to deny. I want to take immediate action. And I realize there's not a tomorrow. And I want to take and do those things. And God can help us. And if we look at the examples in the scriptures, look at those. Jesus was one of immediate action. When we read the stories with Him, we don't read that, well, He just put it off and He eventually got around or He never did get to it. That shouldn't be us today. If anyone's in need of the invitation this evening, I ask that you come as we stand and sing.